Can you sense it in the atmosphere? Can your body begin to feel it? Oh, man, y'all gonna make me work tonight. I can already feel it. Y'all wanted to worship, huh? That's what y'all wanted to do? I wanted to worship. I want to worship. I want to cry unto the Lord. I want to cry because I don't feel like I'm going to get victory. He causes us to win. He causes us to win. Do you know that he does? He causes us to win. All the time. If we were to look back over our life, we would think that we've lost a lot of battles. Or we've been beat up, got bruises, scratches. But the reality is that you won that battle. Yes. You made it through.
Yes, sir.
You're still standing.
Yes, right.
You didn't think you. Matter of fact, woman of God, you were already on the way down to the grave. And God saw fit to send you an angel to lift you right back up.
Thank you, Lord.
To hold you and let you know that I'm here watching over you. That even the steps that you had made to go in the direction that you were going, God says, I have made a way of escape for you.
Thank you, Lord.
He is about to restore to you your identity.
Hallelujah.
Your identity. Everything that you have been through, it's like nobody's in this room but just you and God. He says, you're going to see the victory that I have given you. And everything that you have lost, God says, I'm going to restore back to you even greater. Greater. And I look at you and at me as a person, looking at you as a person, you look like it's okay. But what I sense in my spirit, in my heart, you had to fight your way through. You really have. Lord, if something don't change, I'm just going to be real. I'm going to catch a case. And if I catch this case, I'm going to be put away for a long time. So, God, you got to come through. Matter of fact, come on, Josh. We'll just go this route for a little bit. Make sure you get him off of mute. I sense right now, just as I said it, you didn't think that things could turn around for you. Is there really a God? Is there a God that hears my cries? Is there a God that hears my prayers? Because I need God to really come through. Beloved, I'm here to tell you that not only is he coming through for you, he is removing the enemy that stands before you, that speaks against you, that tries to stop you and tries to pull you back and tries to pull you back. Not only are you going to be restored in your body, but you're going to be restored in the mind. Beloved, I speak the goodness of God and the peace of God over your life. That when you sleep tonight, you will slumber with such peace. Whew. That there will be such restoration into your life that you will say, truly, God, you showed up and you showed off on my behalf. Now, the one miracle that you're asking God to do, he said, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for you. Doesn't matter what the court system says. Doesn't matter what anything says. I am moving on your behalf. Come on, somebody. If that had been your word. If that had been your word. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Not only is he so good, he said that in 2016 will be the year of the fruitfulness of your labor and your toil. That you will see the fruit displayed. So that in 2016, it's going to be your sweet 16. Sweet 16. That's going to look funny when we come out with big old dresses, right? Sweet 16. Sweet. Lord bless me like he gave me everything back that I once lost. I put that dress on. I don't care. Sweet. I'm just playing. I know that what God is doing, he's grabbing hold of his people and putting them back into position. And how can God get a hold of his people and put them in position? By a warm embrace of mercy. Mercy. If truth be told, We've used up grace all this time. Oh, I'm covered, I'm covered, I'm covered. But at some point, we got to cry out for mercy. Mercy. Mercy says, I need you now. Mercy says, now. Grace says, I'm all right, I'm covered. Mercy says, I need you now. Well, we need God to come through and show us that we got victory. Amen. Oh, mercy is so good. Mercy's so good, Mama. He'll make things that don't seem right become right. I hope you heard what I just told you. What don't seem right will be right. I'm tired of this lying devil. I had a friend of mine from one of the past ministries we used to be associated with, and the daughter would say, "It's the devil. I hate the devil." Why you hate the devil? I don't like the devil. Devil make me mad. Why did the devil make you mad? Because he took my joy. I said, well, how did he take your joy? Because I see my mama and daddy crying and the devil did it. Wouldn't that tear you up? I said, baby, everything going to be okay. Watch this. These are pastors. And it was the baby speaking. The devil took their joy away. The baby. And then, of course, after that, you can only keep the conversation real short like that. Went off and go and play with Barbies and stuff. I just sat there like, wow. That devil. He a liar. He a liar.
He is.
Look to your neighbor and say, he a liar. Now say it with me now. That devil. No, say it. Be devil. Is a liar. Amen. Amen. He's a liar, right? So why are you listening to his lies? We ain't going to listen to him. Sweet 16. The taste of victory. Watch this. All I do is win. Say it with me now. All I do is win. Do you believe it? Some of y'all are like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. I got people talking about me. I got people coming against me. People don't like what I'm doing. People don't like what I'm advancing. Say it with me. All I do is win. If you got people coming against you, it's because you're going in the right direction. If you don't got anybody coming against you, talking about you, trying to pull you back, you ain't going in the right direction. How many of you have people talking about you? Look at here. We in the church. Oh, I don't mean talking about each other. I'm just saying that the church is being talked about. Right? How come the church always gets persecuted? Because who? Jesus. Because of Jesus. Jesus said it. Oh, the trouble that comes your way and all your persecution and all the lies and everything that comes your way, it's not because of you. It's because of me. But fear not. I've overcome the world. Yeah. Oh, we can celebrate. Oh, yeah, we overcome the world. But when every little adversity comes our way, I find it interesting. I'm guilty of it too. I'm guilty. Arsh. The devil. Brittany is the devil. You know, to my joy. Sure. And then I just happen to sit down and be quiet just for a little bit. Yeah, I'm quiet. Really, I am. I am. Here I can talk in front of thousands of people. I can talk and gab. Once I leave the pulpit, introvert. Crazy. I saw my cousin the other day. I said, you know what? I used to be able to go and talk to anybody in the street. Just talk to them. Hey, how you doing? Good. Conversation. You think I knew him forever. Now? Hey. I don't understand. But one thing I did today was I said, God, I'm not going to let him take my joy no more. I said, I'm in a new season. I'm in a new direction. And if he wants to keep messing with me, then that tells me that I'm about to win. That's when the Lord says, you don't even have to fight this. You may have to climb it. Oh, yeah, I won't hear that. You may have to climb this thing, but you don't have to fight it. I'll fight for you. Are you hearing me? Okay, look, some of y'all went to this direction. I heard it. Some of y'all went to, well, this thing is just so strong that I'm just addicted. Addiction is nothing more than you having a created habit. You know how you break a habit? Do something different and create a better habit. When you create a better habit, you do away with that habit. Understand? And if you feel like I can't overcome it, let me help you. God has caused you to try it. He's caused you to try it. If he has overcome the world, he's in you, then you have overcome the world. It's simply put in his word. Why do we mess it all up? All of a sudden, we want to look for every devil. What's the devil's name? What devil? What's your name, devil? How many of you are in there? What you going to do when he speaks to you? Oh. Jesus, you didn't show me how. The reality is you overcome it. You just walk. Keep walking. Keep your eyes on him. He may try to come and find you. He may try to come and pull you down. But if he's pulling at your tails, if he's trying to hold you back, it's because you're going somewhere. And if he starts talking all these lies to you, it's because you have seen something in your mind's eye, your spiritual eye, something greater than where you're at. He's just putting all these smoke screens everywhere. How many of you know that every time he puts a smoke screen, it's usually your past? Right? Oh, I'm a little dirty in this area. I'm really dirty on that head. But the reality is, Jesus looks and he says, what he's looking at, I already cleansed. What he's condemning you with, I already cleansed you with my blood. I cause you to win. I do. Walk in the victory. Now, victory tastes real good, doesn't it? How many of you like to play a sport and just for the fun of it, even if you lose? Be honest, you're in church. Even if you lose, mama, it's okay, right? I'm going to play. I just had fun. Yep. Did you notice it was only one child that answered truthfully? How many of you get mad when you lose? Some of y'all are like, I don't know how to answer this one, Pastor. Did you see it? Because some of them... How many of you play a game to win? Okay. Do you like losing? No. When you lose, are you grateful?
No.
Man, y'all answer quick. When you lose the game, you're more sour than you are happy, right? See, we get to the point. It was the referee's fault. We get mad. We start blaming everybody. But if you hadn't and you haven't used some things, what do you think is going to happen?
You're going to lose.
Now, you know we're getting close to the football playoffs, right? NFL play? No? Oh, we're there? Oh. Well, so what happens if your record is okay, but you haven't really made it into the playoffs? What do they call that when you have to play the game?
A wild card.
You got to play a wild card game? Because you may be good enough to go to the next level, but at times you have a tendency to lose. But we're going to give you a shot to redeem yourself. Well, I'm here to tell you that God doesn't give you a wild card game. He, when he sees you, he made you, he knows you. He says, I made you to overcome. I made you to have victory. Now, you may get some bumps and bruises along the way, but you're going to overcome. How many of you want to overcome? Amen. Yeah, I want to overcome. I want some things to change. Oh, I want some things to change. Not just in me, but in my circumstances. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13, verses 1 through 7 first. When you're there, say amen. First Samuel 13. Verse 1 through 7, and I'll begin reading. If you would, go ahead and stand. And those of you that do not have a Bible, get with somebody that does so you can read, please. Go to the next slide, Hannah, please. And then the next one right after that. 1 Samuel 13, verses 1 through 7. Next slide. 1 Samuel 13. This is not what we're reading, but I'm going to leave it there for a minute. So just leave it right there. All right. Everybody there? Somebody's there that you can read? If you don't have a Bible, you don't have an electronic device. You don't have glasses? Okay, well. Okay, when we get to 4 and 5, you'll be with us. Okay. All right. Are you ready? Yes? All right, Miss Hannah, if you would, go ahead and start recording. If we are recording, give me a thumbs up. All right. I want to welcome everybody on the podcast to the House of Manna Wednesday night soaking service. Sweet 16, the taste of victory. All I do is win. We'll begin reading out of 1 Samuel 13, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll jump down to verses 22. Saul lived for 1 year, then became king, and when he had reigned for 2 years over Israel, Saul chose 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent home, every man to his tent. Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistine that was at Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all of Israel heard it said that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistine, and also that Israel had become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were called out to join Saul at Gilgal. Verse 5. And the Philistines mustered a fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen and troops, like the sand of the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed, the people hid themselves in caves, in holes, in rocks, in tombs, and in cisterns. And some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you that your word will guide us, show us, teach us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our spirit, speak to our soul, and renew our minds. Let us not be the people of Israel that will run and be scared, but let us be the people that will stand and fight. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and honor. Now, Father, I take authority over every spirit in this room. Father, for every sickness and every disease, I take authority over it now in Jesus' mighty name. I call it to leave now, to be bound, and flee now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, the spirit of distraction, I bind you now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you now, and I release the very spirit, oh God, to have his way. Holy Spirit, have your way in the lives of your people. Speak to them now. Give them revelation of your word. Illuminate your word. But more importantly, Father God, let them receive impartation of your word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this night that we receive your word. And we apply it to our life in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to begin reading at verse 15. And Samuel arose and went up from Gilgal. The rest of the people went up after Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. Were they outnumbered?
Yes.
600 men against how many of those horsemen and charioteers and all that? How many were there? A whole bunch of them. You get to the point, you just quit counting. Oh, Lord. Lord. Now, isn't it something when you start off doing something for the Lord? When you're getting battles won and things are going good, people are with you. People really want to rally with you when things are going good. And you've got momentum going. They want to be with you. But then when the enemy shows up and shows himself strong, what do? They want to go and run and hide. It says some of them went and run into the caves. You're like some Christians today. Oh, this is just too hard. This is just too hard. I got to pay rent. I shouldn't have went out partying, but I got to pay rent. It's real. It's real. Yeah, we got a lot of them like that. No? Okay, no, Pastor. We don't go out and party like that. We sanctify filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. We don't go out and party. We don't do that. We just don't. Okay. So for some of the Christians that decide to go out to eat every Sunday or every Wednesday or whatever the case may be and spend that money, so when it comes time to pay their bills, pay their rent, they don't have enough money. They run and hide. Not us? No? The conviction just looking like, oh, Lord, why is he going there? I'm just telling you that all of a sudden now when things begin to happen to Christians, some of us retreat. But we're supposed to advance regardless of the circumstance. Isn't that true? Now, if we have momentum on our side and we have victory, they just blew the horn and said, we have victory! We got victory! So they're all shouting, but then what did it say? What did it say? That the Philistine responded and they mount up a bigger army. So you mean to tell me that every time you have victory, you think the enemy's going to stop and retreat? Oh no, he's going to mount himself even bigger. Oh, he's going to get even more people against you. Shoot. That ain't fair. You know what's even crazier? Now, this is the people of God. Is it not Israel's the people of God? Am I reading the right Bible? Okay. Just making sure I wasn't reading a different Bible. These are the people of God. Now, this is Saul and his son Jonathan. Isn't that beautiful? Me and Daddy, we're going to go fight the Philistines. Me and Daddy, we're going to go fight Philistines. What a great generation. We're going to go fight and we're going to leave a legacy. So now all of a sudden now all these people start hearing how the Philistines are rallying and there's so many of them coming against them. Did a lot of them go and run in the caves? Did you read what it said? Some of them ran into the tombs. They went into the tombs. I don't know about you, but I ain't going into no graveyard. I'm spooky like that. You walk in, especially at night. Lord Jesus, don't let me go to no sense. Oh, I can't even say it. Because we hear all these kind of noises. And but they weren't afraid of that. They wanted to just go run and hide. I'm going to go hide in it. I'm going to go hide in San Fernando Catima. What? Me voy a esconder aquí, mira. No me puedes ver. We get so scared. We do things that don't make no sense. But watch this. Watch this. And then some of them, come on, Chris, just come on. Some of them that were fighting with you in the previous battle decided because they saw everybody that's now starting to mount up against you, deuces, man, I see you. I see you. We had a good fight, but I'm going to go back across the other way. You go do what I see y'all later. It says some of them even went back across the Jordan. Wait a minute. Didn't God just bring them over? But they're going to go back. How many of us go back to the world system? Did we miss it? Should I say it again? Okay, I will. How many of us, when we get scared of what's going on in our circumstance, do we retreat back into the world system and begin to look like the world does, act like the world does, so we can blend in with the world system so that we're not attacked by the enemy? Is this too deep? Well, am I right? I'm not crossing no barriers here, am I? Should I ask permission if I do? Because I wasn't. See, here's what happens is we're comfortable if everything's going good. But when the enemy mounts up against us, we have a tendency to go back to the old ways. We want to run and hide. So then who's left? 600 men against the multitude? Watch this. Let's read this. This is verse 15 now. And Samuel rose and went up from Gilgal. The rest of the people went after Saul to meet the army. They went up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people who were present with him stayed in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped at Michmash. And the raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. They had so many people that not only did they say, you go that way, I go this way. And someone stood facing them. Now, you got to understand where they're at. They're at a pass. They're at a pass, like a ravine. How many of y'all seen those Western movies? Have you seen those Western movies where they're riding the horses and all of a sudden they're going through this little pass and behind, they're looking up into the hills up there because the enemy is shooting down at them. Okay, that's what they saw. So when you see that the Israelites ran into the caves, into the cisterns, and into all the tombs, remember, the graveyards and tombs, they were in the caves. Some of them must have ran into a cave thinking, oh, I'm all by myself. And let it be a spider. No? How many of you have that arachnophobia? Look at y'all. How many of y'all have that spiritophobia? Spiritophobia, because every spirit that comes up is a devil, and you got that phobia. Oh, Lord, that's a devil. The spiritophobia, right? Is that? Okay. Because we look for every devil, but we're hiding in these places, right? Well, here's the Israelites that are going to fight against the Philistines. They're looking now, and they're in this pass. In this pass. And the enemy comes on three sides. Front, left, and right. That's why some of them ran back. Now, I find it very interesting. Watch this. And Saul and Jonathan and his son, the people were present with him, stayed in Gibeon and Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped at Michmash. And raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned to Ophrah, to the land of Shual. Another company towards Beth Horon, and another company toward the border that looks down on the valley of Zibeon, towards the wilderness. Now, if you would go with me and skip down to verse 19. This is what I found very interesting. I was reading this. Verse 19. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. Did you read that? For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make themselves swords or spears. Jump down to verse 22. So on the day of the battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people with Saul and Jonathan. But Saul and Jonathan, his son, had them. Who had the swords? Just Jonathan and Saul. The people just won a battle without having swords. Now they entered into this area and they don't have what they need to fight. But who has it? Saul, and the son, Jonathan. Isn't that something? We walk into battle, and all of a sudden, we see something about to happen, and we start reaching. Some of y'all reach for... Well, it's open carry now. Lord Jesus. Going back to the Western days. Shoot, ask questions later. We have nothing to fight with. We have no swords. Now, I grew up around some tracks. Some tracks. Railroad tracks. On the other side of the track, there were some people that didn't like us. Remember them? Mm-hmm. They knew us by name. They didn't like us. But back then, when we would just talk, Mom. We just talk. But back then, we didn't reach for no weapons. Hombre, ¿qué tienes? You get the brick, you get the rocks, you get whatever you can find, right? Because if you come from the street, you're going to use... I'm just making sure I'm in the right church. Making sure you're going to use what you know to reach for. So they had just been fighting this battle, but what had happened was that now the enemy called some of its friends. Oh, wait, hold up now. They done beat some of our people over here. So let's rally some more folks. Isn't it just like everything that you do when you start to get victory, that the enemy now calls more spirits, more attacks, more spiritual things against you? Just like it. But the thing is, the enemy is now all around you and you're down in the valley. How are you in the valley when you just won a victory? We just won a victory. We don't even get a chance to celebrate. And I just shared with you on Sunday that Saul didn't even want them to eat. No wonder why they were scared. And Jonathan came and he just dipped his rod, got some of that honey. It wasn't honey, it was menudo. El menudo. Con fuerzas. Now, they were scared. They were hungry. They had no weapons. What do you think the enemy's doing at that point? Oh, he's like, oh, we got them. Look at them. We can number them. They can't number us. But then I read that Saul is sitting under a pomegranate tree. He's the only one with his men that has a sword, and he's sitting down under a pomegranate tree. What does Jonathan do? I likes me some Jonathan. Jonathan said, hey, to the armor bearer that has no sword. Many want to talk about, oh, Jonathan, he killed him with a sword. He didn't have a sword. So now, Jonathan says, let's go deal with these Philistines. Let's go deal with these Philistines. I don't know if God's going to give us victory, but let's go. That's it. Go down there. 1 Samuel 14 now. 1 Samuel 14. And go to verse 13 through 15. 1 Samuel 14. Verses 13 through 15. And I'll begin reading. Then Jonathan climbed up, watch this, on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike which Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within, as it were, half a furrow's length in an acre and a half. And there was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a very great panic. One man that didn't know whether or not he was going to get victory said, let's just see if God will. Let's just see if God will. How many times have we prayed not knowing if God is? Right? Oh, some of y'all going to like, nah, y'all not going to like this. Y'all ain't going to like this.
We waiting on God to give us victory, but God is saying, would you just climb up? Get up and climb. It says that Jonathan climbed on his hands and his knees. Are you visualizing this? What is he doing? He's climbing up to go and get those garrisons. I mean, the Philistines are up there. He's climbing up that very ravine, that very cliff. If he's climbing on his knees and on his hands, on Sunday you'll get a better understanding of this. He's climbing. Chris, remember when we had to go up all those rocks? Remember they used to have those rock mounds right next to when they were building over there? And we used to climb up those rocks, hands in our knees, and we would slide down. Do you ever think, how come every time I'm trying to do something good for myself, and I'm really trying hard to get up there, it seems like I keep sliding back down? Doesn't it seem that way sometimes? I'm climbing, trying to get there, but I keep sliding back down. How can I get up there? And I want to fight this enemy. I don't know if God's going to give me victory, but I'm so sick and tired of the enemy looking at me. And I'm the only one that has a sword, but you know what? You don't know who I is. Mm-mm. You don't know? Come on, come on. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing that they don't even care? Oh, this is what the Bible says. Come on, we want to show you something. The Bible says, we want to show you something. And what does Jonathan say to his armor bearer? Come on. Today, God has given him to our hand. But first, in order for us to get victory, we got to climb up this mountain on our hands and our knees. And once we get there, do you think they were tired? I bet you they were a little tired. Now, how many of you have faced an enemy that's going to let you reach the top? Huh? Because you know that every time you're trying to get up to the top, they're going to try to stop you. Huh? They're going to try to get you before you even reach there. The enemy let them get there. See, sometimes God's going to let you get right in front of your enemies. And he ain't going to stop you. Nor the enemy going to stop you on the way up. But once you get up there, now the fight is about to get started. You may be outnumbered. But I wonder how everybody else was thinking as they were sitting there, as Saul with the only sword with them, sitting under the pomegranate tree. Lord, I'm just going to wait for the prophet to come. Okay, the prophet hadn't come yet. And Lord, oh, I'm waiting. Don't forget, I can't wait anymore. Let me just go ahead and do the slaughter right now. And I'll take the sacrifice. I'll step into something that I'm not supposed to be doing. I'll do something I'm not supposed to do. I'm not anointed to do. I'm just going to do it anyhow. See, when the enemy is facing you and trying to stop you, you may do some things you're not supposed to do based out of your fear. Out of your fear, you'll do something that you shouldn't do. But I find it interesting that if they had no weapons, there was no blacksmith, they had nothing there. They had nothing that they could use to gain victory. How do you feel sometimes when you feel like the enemy is just too strong for you? Defeated before the battle's even begun. Oh, y'all are talking about me. Oh, you're coming against my ministry. You're coming against my children. Oh, you're coming against my marriage. Or you're coming against my job. Or, oh, Lord. Or you yourself are going against your job that God has given you and blessed you. I'm just waiting on the Lord to bless me with another job. How about doing the best you can at the job he's given you? See, we wait for God to do many things. But the reality is Jonathan and his armor bearer says, you know what? God has already given us victory. God has given us victory. I'll climb. I'll climb. hands and knees. I'll climb. I may get dirty on the way up, but I'll climb. Hey, you gonna go with me? Whatever's in your heart to do, I'm with you. Heart and soul. Let's go. See, the thing that we need when we're about to go into battle, in any battle, is the will to win. No football player in these playoffs is doing their normal training. They're doing their playoff training, their playoff drills. They're getting ready for a prize that they're fighting for. They're fighting for survival to stay in the race. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm facing an enemy and I'm not holding something in my hand, which we're used to doing, but this is what God said in His Word. Isaiah 54:17. What does it say? No weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I wonder if Christians today would take that to heart. Where would the church be today? Where would the position of the church be? Huh? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But you know what most weapons that are formed, where they come from? Comes from us. So that when we're trying to advance or go somewhere, we're forming our own weapons against us. And we're defeated before we ever get there. So it's like, no wonder why the enemy's like, oh, I'm going to make all these smoke screens look so real that you're going to want to quit. Oh, you're going to want to quit. You ain't going to be able to make it. You're not holding the sword. You're not holding nothing. Watch this. What about when Satan came to tempt Jesus? Okay, you know, how did Satan tempt him? With what? Word. False manifestation first. Secondarily, word. Jesus responded with word. Did he leave when Jesus responded with word?
Yes.
Uh-uh. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Jesus did not cause the enemy to leave with the word. Every time Satan said something that was half truth, which was a lie, tempted him with the word, Jesus came back with the word. The enemy did not leave. He tempted him even more. Ooh, I got some religious folks in here tonight. Oh, you overcome with the word. Hold up. That's not the end. You overcome with your testimony. What is that testimony? Your past victories. Because your past victory gives you the sense that that word is working inside of you. Then when you tell the enemy, you ain't going to touch me, touch not my anointed, because I am a child of God. You cannot touch me like you did the last time, because I overcame the last time. Ooh, hold up now. Satan didn't leave Jesus until worship was established. Oh, we think, oh, all I got to do is worship. No, watch what it said afterward, that he would return at another time. You think that just because you know the word, you worship, you have a testimony, you think he ain't going to come back? Oh, he's coming back. Oh, he's going to come back even harder and with some more folks with him to try to stop you. So I said, Lord, wait a minute now. If Jesus is going to fight with the word, I want to fight with the word. But I don't have nothing to go against him. Right? We get that way. Don't look at me all strange. Y'all looking at me, Pastor, we have the word. You should know the word. Yeah, but when you're going through some stuff and you don't know how to pray no more and you don't even know what to pray no more, you've already prayed every scripture that you've already written down because of warfare. You've written it down. You prayed it. The next thing you're going to do is just sit there and cry. Ah! And this is what the Lord dropped in my spirit. He says, you know what? You got to understand something. Isaiah 49:2.
Isaiah 49:2. He says, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. Uh-oh. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. Isn't that good? I said, Lord, I like that one. I like that one. I may not have a sword in my hand, but out of my mouth, the words is like a sword, double-edged sword. It'll cut and divide, right? We understand that. But this is what he says. He says, but your mouth will be like a sword, but it'll be like an arrow. Sharp. But it'll be in my hand. Whose hand? His. Oh, don't miss this. If you're facing some despair right now, and you feel like you have no weapons that are going to penetrate this very thing is trying to stop you, let me remind you that you're in his hand. All he's asking for you to do is to speak. But he's going to pull you out of his quiver. And he's going to be launching those arrows. He's going to be launching you into the very camp of the enemy to give you victory over everyone that's been coming against you. Over every circumstance, over every enemy, over everything that's been trying to stop you. He will give you victory over all things. You will see that everything that has been trying to come against you is about to stop. Because he's changing the circumstances around your life. Why? Because he has you in his hand. That's how we can face the enemy that is on all three sides. And the only thing he wants us to do is run backwards. That's why he's not behind us. He's just reminding us of our past. You're like the arrow in God's hand. And he hides you in the quiver. That's where the arrows are. But he's about to pull you out and he's about to launch you into your future. God is. And when he launches you to your future, oh, you're going to deal with some things that you didn't even know that were there trying to stop you. When you arrive at that place, it was you all the time? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're so good. I don't got to worry about this one. I keep my eyes on you. And if I have to climb this hill to deal with these Philistines, oh, I'll climb. I'll climb. But I'm going to do away with so many of them. In other words, in an acre and a half, he killed 20 men. That meant he had to go looking for them. An acre and a half, he had to go find them. Y'all are hiding here somewhere. I'm about sick and tired of you hiding from me. I'm going to deal with you once and for all. Ain't nobody going to come and try to stop you from your progression and your blessing, your prophetic future, and your destiny. You're about to see an increase in your life, an increase in the anointing on your life. The oil has been sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. And God says, I'm about to squeeze so that you will flow. So that you will flow. The anointing that is residue on you is so thick. It resonates with holiness and with glory. Everything that you have been through has brought everything inside of you to the surface. There's been so much word poured into you, so much time in the chambers with him that he's spoken to you directly, that you've received impartation. You've had illumination. You've seen in the darkest times he's giving you things that no one is speaking about, but you're hearing it in the spirit and then it's coming out. God says that I've given you the revelatory gift, beloved, and you're about to see things greater than you've ever seen. And in this revelatory gift, they're about to come forth. I'm giving you victory. I'm giving you victory, says the Spirit of God. The transition that you're in is because you're crossing over. You're crossing over to a place that is higher than you've ever been. You've been comfortable, but even being comfortable where you're at, now there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. Now I'm at that point. Now I'm too uncomfortable to be here. Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? I don't want to miss what is coming. I want to be in the position where you want me to be. You see, the Spirit of God saying, I've had you in my hands. I've had you in my hands. You have felt the flutter. You have felt my presence.
stronger and stronger. You have felt me enter in the room, enter into your quiet place. And not only that, you smell my very glory, says the Spirit of God. You're in my hands, beloved, you're in my hands. And in these last days, you will see that I will use you in greater levels than before. Not only to teach, but also to declare. Not just to teach the people how to do things, but to declare the goodness and the glory of God. In these last days, I have called you and I separated you for such a time as this, says the Spirit of God. Arise and shine, for the glory of God has risen upon you. It is your season, it is your hour, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If God is with you, who can be against you? He will give you victory. Surrender yourself. Surrender yourself. I see your heart doing this. Confusion is not a God. It's not a God. But your heart's confused. Worship him more like never before. You may need to learn to get into that place and still be quiet so that he can speak to you. You'll begin to write things down, beloved. You will write them down. And he'll show you. He'll give you direction and give you clarity. You've gone through so much, but it was not for nothing. Miss the appointment. Be ready, beloved. There's so much more is coming. So much more. You will see the enemy on three different sides. Just walk through it. Just walk through it. Just walk through it. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, you're so good. Come on, worship him, worship him, worship him. Come on, worship him. Come on, worship him. He's causing you to win. He's causing you to win. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way in this house, Lord. Have your way in this house. You're calling us up, God, not down. You're calling us to a place that we will deal with the things that are trying to keep us from moving forward. But we will progress forward, oh God. We thank you for the victory that you have given us, that we are the arrows in your hands. In the times of battle, you will hide us in your quiver. But when it's time to launch us, Lord, you will pull us out and you will launch us forward, oh God, that no one can stop us. You'll launch us in doors that man has tried to close. But the doors that you have opened, no man can shut. And the ones that you have shut, no man can open. God, we're going beyond where we've ever been. We're transcending higher and further than we've ever been. The church as a whole is going beyond and above what we've ever experienced before. We will see the oracles of God become out of the mouths of the people of God. We will see that the angels of the harvest will begin to move to and fro, gathering the souls in these last days. Father, I thank you, oh God. Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him. Worship him. Oh, he's worthy. Oh. Come on. Come on. If you're tired, stand up and walk around. If you're sleepy, stand up. Walk around. Can't be coming in when the Holy Spirit is moving and then we just get so comfortable because we're used to it. Don't get too comfortable with just presence. Don't get too comfortable with the moving of the Spirit. You've got to reverence His presence. You've got to reverence His very presence. He is moving. He's moving. He is moving. Yes, yes, God, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my, 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 my. Someone's anger is about to be done away with. Someone's bitterness, hatred, and anger is about to be dealt with. You will no longer lash out. You will no longer be hitting the walls, hitting the doors, patching up all the stuff that you have made a mess of. God is going to give you peace, beloved. Peace that will surpass all understanding. He will begin to change the very way that you respond in the midst of adversity, midst of trials. The fire is used to create the weapon and the swords. The fire is used to fuse metal together. You've been in the fire for a long time. But God is forming you and sharpening you, and He's bringing the heat to a level that will remove the impurities that have been within. Beloved, it's not about whether or not you're a sinner. It's about whether or not you want to be used of God in these last days. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Sylvia, put your hands over the seal right there, please. Put your hands on it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you right now. What has been held up, you have suffered loss monetarily. You felt like you missed it. You felt like you've been taken out of the will of God. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, I had to move you in this direction to show you something. For I have given you, oh, thank you, Jesus, an entrepreneur spirit that I will cause unto you to be able to do what you desire to do concerning your own business. You have desired to do this so that you can have more free time for the things of God and to be able to sow into the kingdom of God. You said, God, if I could do certain things, I'll be able to be loosed and not be tied down. I see checks that have been held up from you that should have been paid out to you, but the Spirit of God says, I am calling them to be loosed now in the name of Jesus. There will be checks in the mail for you for the services that have already been rendered, says the Spirit of God. Father, I just thank you right now. Fan the flame, oh God. Fan the flame. Yes, Lord. Blow, oh God. Speak life, oh Lord. Fan the flame. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, breathe into the breath of life, oh God. I prophesy to the breath. I prophesy to the breath. You will arise. You will be formed and fitted for the army of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I heard it. Yes, you grabbed it. I know you grabbed it. I heard that you grabbed it. You grabbed it out of the atmosphere. You pulled it down. I heard it. That you grabbed it and said, that's me. That's mine. The Spirit of God is saying, not only am I going to do it, but it won't come out of your pockets. It will be done supernaturally. I have placed you in that place. Even when you felt like you couldn't, even when you didn't think it was going to be enough, God says, I am making a way out of no way, says the Spirit of God. I will make things happen for you. I will make things happen for you. Woo! Hallelujah. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, dignitaries, will begin to inquire, and as they inquire, they will begin to even release, as the Spirit of God, summon. This was prophesied to you when you were 19 years old. At the age of 19, they said that you would be on the stage. My God, listen here. And they equated you just like that of Bishop T.D. Jakes.
But beloved, what I see in you is not that of a pastor, not that of a bishop. What I see from you, oh God, thank you, thank you, as the fathering mentor, the father in many nations, the father in many nations, that you will raise up sons and daughters that will begin to do the works of the ministry, but the dignitaries will begin to put things together, and they will begin to put people in alignment to make a way for you to get there, says the Spirit of God. And that there will be a table of dignitaries and spiritual leaders that will be sitting together. There will be different denominations, different religions that will come together. But they're seeking that of truth. They're seeking that of how do we make change in this region? How do we make change in our country? How do we make change in the government? And then the Spirit of God will give out of your mouth the oracle for that territory. I'm calling the dignitaries now that what was once there, when you were 19 years old, the man of God laid hands on you and said that you will do these things, and you will see that these things are now coming into order and coming to pass, says the Spirit of God. I am pleased with you, sir. I am pleased with you, says the Spirit of God, that you have humbled yourself and you have served and you have gone through the humbling process. But because you have came low, I will raise you up. I will take you up. I will take you beyond. You have been sliding down every time you climb. Every time you try to get up, someone's been trying to pull you down. And the words that follow you, that try to stop you, are the things that should drive you, says the Spirit of God. You've changed even your responses. You've changed the way you've acted. Now it is the time that you begin to act upon my declaration, says the Spirit of God. Your words are coming to fruition. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, oh God, I thank you that every word that has come against him, every word that has tried to rise up against him, Lord, I even thank you. I thank you right now. And I declare over his life, touch not my anointing. Oh, Lord, you've been in your cave. You have been in your cave. You had every opportunity to take out the one that should have released you. You had every opportunity to be in that place. And God says, I waited and I waited and waited and I've watched you and I've watched you. Now I shall bring the crown unto you. I'm transitioning you out. And I will put my crown of glory on you. I'm taking you into that place where I will release unto you that which you have asked. That when you open your mouth, it will not be your words. It will be the words of the Lord. It shall come out like honey. It shall come out like honey. It will give even encouragement unto the people. And you will see the dead raise, says the Spirit of God. People will begin to give their lives over the internet, over the phone. Father, I thank you right now, oh God, that before summer, before this summer, oh God, that he will step right into that place, oh God. I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Dig deep from the roots, God, from the very root, oh God. Yes. Oh, the sibling, I hear the sibling. My hand is moving on the sibling. My God. Ooh. There is going to be, my God. I see it. I see the hand of a sibling. Reaching out. You're standing and you're lifting up. You're lifting up. As you lift up, a nation rises. A nation rises as you lift him up. Thinking not strange, beloved, that something's about to transpire in the lineage. In the lineage. Great and mighty works are about to be done. Not just on your behalf, but for the lineage, says the Spirit of God. There is a dynasty being established. A dynasty being established. You'll know this is going to be God when the passport for your son is taken care of. Because you said, I don't want to do it and leave him behind. I don't want to do this without him. I don't want to do this without him. Who's going to be there? Who's going to be there? Be with me. Be with me. My dream that you'll stand with me. Come here, John Michael. Come here, John Michael. You put your hand on your daddy. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you right now. Pastor. Pastor. Yes, Lord, thank you. A lineage. A lineage. If you stand to your feet, Bishop, stand to your feet.
Hello.
Pastor. Jesus.
Listen to what God has to say to you. This is a process that is happening through to you because God loves you. Everything's going to restore really fast. You will see the glory of Jesus over your home, over your ministry, the special blessings that God has for you saved are saved for you. It hasn't been disposed. Your ministry is alive. Your life is alive. Your ears are being opened. Your eyesight will be healed.
Come on, that's it.
Your mouth will say words of mouth because the anointing is over you. There's a special anointing over you that God has not taken from you. The gifts of God are irrevocable. That's why God loves you. And he brings you here because he's going to lift you with power and authority. And you're going to see the glory of God over this place because God is going to use you to a higher dimension. Don't be saddened. Your heart, God lives in it. Your heart is in God's hands. God loves you. Pick up your head. Pick up your eyesight to that God, all powerful, creator of God, earth, that is by your side. The angels of earth fight for you. They're by your side. Your hands will not get tired.
Come on.
Because you're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see the glory of God. Receive the anointing of God. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Receive it. A special anointing is over you.
sobre ti, sobre ti. Una unción muy especial sobre ti. Llena, Señor. Llena, Señor. Llena con tu Santo Espíritu. Llena, Señor. Dale más. Más, 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 Señor. Más, más, fuerte. Fuerte, Señor. Fuerte, sopla. Sopla, Espíritu de Dios. Sopla con unción. Llena, Señor. Sana esa herida. Sánala, Señor. En el nombre de Jesús. Ponte de pie.
Stand up, brother. Raise your hands. Raise your hands.
Y dale gracias a Dios.
And give glory to God.
Dile, Señor Jesús.
Say, Jesus Christ.
Te doy gracias.
I give you great
praise.
Because you have not left me. I thank you for your anointing, for your power, for your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Not compared to God's yes. If God spoke into existence, you will just walk in it. You're about to reach the top. You're coming out of your valley. And now He's about to give you the keys. And what to do. You'll know that they're the right ones because they will send for you. Send for you. In these countries, they don't do that. You have to raise money to get there. The dignitaries will send for you. This was prophesied to you when you were young. Now, this I don't know about. I don't know about none of this stuff. But I saw the man of God laying hands on you, saying that you will go to foreign soil, and that you will go before kings and queens, and that you will minister the word of the Lord in its hour. Great signs and wonders will happen. Great signs and wonders. Demons will tremble. They will manifest. They will manifest. But you will stand strong. For the man of God prophesied that the angels will stand there with you. When your hands get laxed, you will stand. For they will hold your hands. They will fight battles for you that you don't even have to worry about. But you'll know that the witches and the warlocks that will even try to manifest to you, you will lose territories. You lose territories. Whew. Come on, man. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whole different move. Just give me a minute on that one, just a second. Who's back there? I can't. Okay, you want to go on this last song when I tell you, okay? Listen, what I want you to understand. as we're moving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm trying. Do you speak English? No. ¿Puro español? ¿Puedes andar conmigo, por favor? As he was sitting there, there was an angel standing behind him.
Cuando lo vio sentado allí, estaba un ángel atrás de usted.
And I looked up.
Y miró hacia arriba. Y cuando miró hacia arriba,
I saw the wings spread over you.
Vio que las alas se abrieron atrás de usted.
And I saw the hand.
Y vio la mano.
Like this.
Sobre
right
usted
on his shoulder.
Así, en su hombro.
I called you.
Lo llamó.
I pulled you out. I separated you. There is an anointing to destroy the yokes. You will set people free. There's prophetic.
Prophecia.
That is about to come forth like never before.
Va a salir como nunca antes.
You have visions.
Tiene visiones.
You hear the voice of God.
Usted escucha la voz de Dios.
But you're about to see.
Pero va a empezar a ver.
In a bigger picture.
En una forma más grande.
For the people of God.
Para la gente de Dios.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Padre, en el nombre de Jesús,
I thank you for the man of God.
Te doy gracias por el hombre de Dios.
I loose him.
Suelto.
Into his destiny.
En su destino.
I unlock him.
Le quito el
the gifts.
Le abro los regalos.
From the Lord.
De Dios.
You will lay hands.
Usted pondrá manos.
On the sick,
en los enfermos,
and they will recover.
Y se recuperarán.
Miracles are inside of you.
Milagros están adentro de usted.
Miracles are inside of you.
Están adentro de usted.
Miracles are inside of you.
Milagros están adentro de usted.
Miracles are inside of you.
Milagros están adentro de usted.
Miracles are inside of you.
Milagros están adentro de usted.
Miracles are inside of you.
Milagros
for the people of God to come forth.
Para la gente de Dios.
Oh, kararabosi kabasa, roka babaya sakatarodododobosi. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus.
Gracias, Dios.
I thank you that this night,
te doy gracias que esta noche,
that you have loosed
que has soltado
the blessing within,
las bendiciones en él,
and out of his mouth
y afuera de su boca,
will come the words of the Lord,
saldrá las palabras de Dios,
that will set the people free.
Que soltará a la gente, liberará a la gente.
You're a blessed man of God.
Usted es un hombre bendecido de Dios.
You're a teacher of the word.
Es un maestro de la palabra.
And you will help many.
Y va a ayudar a muchos.
Beloved, I encourage you.
¿Te apoyo?
¿Apoyo? That's encourage?
No, te animo. ¿Te animo?
I encourage you to move forward.
Que te muevas adelante.
Don't look back.
No mires para atrás.
But you will bring people over.
Pero traerás a gente.
Out of bondage.
Que está encadenada.
There is an anointing on you that rests very, very strong.
Hay una unción en usted que está muy, muy fuerte.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God causes us to win. To win. You know that, right? He causes us to win. As you guys are passing out the envelopes for our tithes and offering, and we're going to be out of here after this song, but I want you to listen to this song. Listen to this song. He causes us to win. Go ahead, Josh.
Let's go. All he do is win, 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 no matter what. Got Jesus on his mind, he can never get enough, enough. And every time he step up in the field, and everybody rush, I go up. Go up, go up. Hey.
and they stay there. Yeah, and they stay there. Running over linebackers cause you've never been defeated and he won't stop now. Put a hand to your forehead, close but the eyes, say a prayer, take a knee and drop down. Never commit no crimes, never break one commandment, but he still murdered your defense, get your coordinators in panic. Haters can't stand it, stiff arm your DN just to buy time. Running the winning touchdown and then Tebow on your sideline. That threw your D like a surgeon, penetrate the glory, but he's still a virgin. Forget about the extra point, you know he coming for the 2-point conversion. He gonna run it in, but never rub it in. Practice that sportsmanship, no matter what place he coming in. But we all know when it's said and done, what place he gonna be standing in. Cause all he do, all he do is